and welcome home. This is your host, Stone Payton, for Atlanta Home Radio. And joining me in the studio this morning is Alan Dobrinsky, who is both our producer and co-host. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Nice to see you, Stone.
Good to see you too, man. So are you selling any houses this time of year, or does the whole real estate market sort of die off now? What have you been doing on the real estate front?
I think it's been busier. I haven't sold anything this week or last week for the holidays.
I'm Alan's sales manager. Me and his wife, right?
But I do have some other friends who are actually selling stuff, and I've noticed that there's a lot more people looking. They're out looking again. I don't know if they're buying.
But they are. So, but now's a good time. Because I'm trying to envision myself, if I were in the housing, would I really want to buy a house this week or next week? Probably not. But it might be the couple of weeks that I would, you know, hop in the car with a real estate agent and go check some stuff out.
So I think you can get some really good deals now because there's fewer homes on the market, but I can actually pull up homes that have been, like, expired or withdrawn because they're waiting till the spring.
What does that mean, expired?
Well, they tried to sell them over the summer and in the fall, and finally they gave up.
It's not like food. It's not a reflection on the property. It just means it hasn't sold yet.
No, they probably have it priced too high. But as we go into the winter, they might get more motivated. You know, they might be more motivated and be ready to sell. You know, whereas they were, you know, on their high horse for the summer, they're like, I'm going to get my price, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to hold out. And then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, I guess we'll have to wait till next year. But if we get somebody out there who wants to buy it, maybe they might be more flexible.
All right. So now is not the time to just lay down. Now's the time if you're in the real estate arena. If you're a buyer, you're looking, you ought to get out there and take advantage of the opportunity to do that. And if you're in the real estate business, you're a broker or an agent, you need to be out there humping it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get out there and do your stuff. Well, this is going to be a great segment. We have in the house, I am delighted to introduce to you, a lady who runs an outfit called Design to Sell, which is a home staging company. Can't wait to learn more about that. Welcome to the show, Barbara Heil-Sonic.
Hi, hello, good day, everybody.
Well, we are delighted to have you on the show. Please forgive my ignorance. What in the world is a home stager?
That's a good question, Payne. Home stager is actually a professional who is helping people to move and sell a property quicker for the best possible price. And our business is not regulated, but there's definitely a difference between somebody who's waking up and says, oh, today is a wonderful day, and I want to be a home stager or somebody who's doing that professionally.
Well, that's exactly what we do as radio hosts. We just wake up and say, hey, you know, I bet I could do that. I heard this clown Stone Payton on the radio. It can't be that hard. So we're not regulated either.
Well, but the ends, you know, it comes down if you're good at it. So part, I think that's the most important part, if you're good at what you're doing. And then, you know, at a certain point, if you do it more and more and more, then at a certain point, you have the proof that you're good at it. And
right.
And that, at that phase, you're a professional, right?
Right. So how do you get good at something? You know, I saw a guy on, what was it, like Wide World of Sports or something. They call it something. He's a cliff diver. And I thought to myself, how do you know if you're any good at something like that? But how do you get good at home staging? Is there some sort of process? How would you go about getting good at it?
Well, I think the key, like with everything, is do you have passion for what you're doing? And, you know, similar, like a good sales person is not specifically a good manager. So if you're running a business, there's different skills around. But in regards to being good at what you're doing in home staging, you definitely have to have a feel for design. You have to be up to date what is going on in the market. And you also have to understand the rules of staging. And there's a lot of it's like a philosophy behind it, and it's a little bit different than decorating, because what you're trying to do is to appeal to the majority of potential buyers out there. And often it is hard when you're living in a house and you have a big collection and you think that's beautiful, or you have a specific taste and you like specific art and you think it's beautiful. That's, you know, one side, but it might not appeal to everybody. So it is very important for a professional home stager not only to know what is out there and what people are looking for, but also to communicate that to the person who's want to sell the house, so that they are convinced that what they're doing is the right thing to do for the market.
Now, can you stage a home? Is it practical to stage a home while someone is still living in it? Is that doable?
Absolutely, that is doable. And, you know, often that takes a little bit more focus from the whole family to get everybody involved, because it doesn't help to stage the house. It has to stay staged throughout the sales
process.
Yeah, I'd
love to see you try to stage my house.
But sometimes it's even funny, you know, in trying to get the whole family together, even the kids, and involve them. And, you know, they're happy because there's a goal in mind. And the goal is, you know, maybe to find the new house and a greater playroom. And there are some reward. And, you know, children actually like it. And I make it a little contest, you know, for them sometimes too. And a good way with children, specifically if there's a lot of toys in rooms, is, you know, do it for a good cause. So we're kind of like, you know, pre-collecting, pre-packing for a move. And other things might be picked up for charity. So it's, you know, doing something good. And most of the kids like to do good things too. So it worked out well.
Well, that's very creative. I'm thinking you could do that service even if you're not selling the house.
and they do.
I like that.
That's called interior design.
So when you walk into a house, you walk into my house and I say, hey, look, Barbara, we're getting ready to sell this thing. I don't know the first thing about how I know that this works for me, but I'm not going to live here anymore. What kind of things do you look at first? And is there a certain area that you know you want to stage this area? Yeah, we could stage that area over there, but it's not nearly as important.
Well, at the end, you know, it's always the first impression. It's like, you know, the first minute, it's the same. You know, when people are looking, they're looking, of course, online first. And then after, you know, they have seen all the pictures, and I think we'll talk about pictures hopefully a little bit later, then it is, you know, all about the first impression. So what the picture is telling you, that has this promise, has to be kept when they're entering and coming to the house. So the approach we're taking is really from the curb appeal, from the outside of the house to the entryway, to the key areas, you know, which are important for selling every house. So for sure, you know, the first entry, the living room, the kitchen, the master suite, that are important areas. But it doesn't help if only these areas really peak and everything else doesn't. So it has to be cohesive in the whole approach for every room. But what we're doing, we're coming, we're taking an evaluation, we're going room by room, we're taking notes, we're taking pictures. And one of the services we are providing is something called like a do-it-yourself list. So in that way, we're coming, and we're like a consultant. And
so you're not doing it, you're saying, but here's the 18 things you need to do.
Absolutely. So it's a list, and we're also actually putting that in a report with pictures and suggestions in what to do to some of the key areas. And that is very helpful, and that's a very economical solution for people to get a professional opinion in preparing their home for sale.
I've seen the do-it-yourselfers. It's They put out some plastic flowers and hang some really hideous pictures, and it is very nice to have a service.
You're in the business, so have you seen this? You've used this kind of service, or you've seen other realtors use this kind of service, and do you feel like it's had an impact? I mean,
It has a big impact on the sales, because when I'm showing houses, I'll always try to get a client to go to a new home and a model. Because I know,
you know, they're staged.
I know that it's been professionally decorated and staged, and I know that they're going to walk in, and no matter what, they're going to say, wow. And you can just tell when it's been professionally staged, and I'm a real estate broker sometimes on the lower price listings. I might just do a do-it-yourself staging on it, and you can tell. I mean, you know.
There's a difference in an Alan Dobrinsky staged home and a Barbara Heil Sonic home, is there?
I think that.
Imagine that.
whatever pictures or posters I could find, you know.
Well, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. If she walked into my home right now, that's do-it-yourself list, she just hand me a box of matches. No question. So is this expensive? I mean, I got to believe, based on your testimony, Alan, that it's worth the investment. But are we talking about a bunch of money? Is there a whole range? How do you work the budget piece of it?
Well, our consultations start from approximately $249, and that covers, I would say, you know, normally like 90% of what is out there of the size of a normal 4-bedroom, you know, 3-bathroom house. That's, you know, pretty much taking a good hour with the customer, hour and a half, and then walking through and providing the report. And it's not for everybody. There are people out there, they're very good in, you know, in following rules, and they also have like a knack for design. And so for them, it is easy to implement that. Others, they need services. So with our consultation, we also provide normally a proposal on, you know, what it would cost if we would do it. And that's pretty much depending on the size of the property and the hours you spend, how many people you need, if you need to lift heavy furniture or not. And the way I think to look at it is you're trying pre-pack for the move because there are certain things you have to do anyhow.
Got to get it done anyway,
and
right?
You have to get it done. So it's only, you know, it's a pre-preparation for the move, and it makes everything smoother at the end when the house sells.
Well, it sounds to me like I'm picking up a little bit of a theme that a big part of staging and staging properly is removing stuff. It's not so much adding, it's removing the clutter. Is that a lot of it?
Well, it is yes and no, because on the other hand, and you know, maybe Alan can talk about that as well, I have also seen properties where it has been taken to the extreme because you don't want to have it feel empty. So the part is it has to be the right mix of focal point. I think the key is that every room really needs a focal point and it needs a wow moment. And that is that, that's really kind of like, and not everybody can create that. There are people out there, they're very good and they can, and others, they need support, and that's why we're here to help.
Now, I know just instinctively, intuitively, both you and Alan are saying, and I have every reason to believe you, that a home sells for more, sells faster when you do this staging. Are there some general stats? I mean, how much faster? How much more? I mean, what kind of impact can it really have?
That is a very good question. And there are actually kind of like, I have seen recently Keller Williams has released like a little stat that it's like 1% of the sales price is the return of investment for staging. I thought it was great because it was not coming from our organization,
it's nice
but from a brokerage,
number,
from a third
right?
party. There's also some statistics out there who are showing in general the return of investment. And, you know, the color, the bright and the light and the cleaning and the staging has, you know, one of the highest return of investments. But right now in this competitive market, it's really a price war and a beauty contest. And I think it is very logical that if you have a list of 10 or 15 houses you're looking at, that you're looking at, you know, at the price comparison, but then it's the beauty contest. So if you have set on price and a price range you want to be then it's the beauty contest. So it's like the nicest house, you know, will sell first pretty much. So in that way, it's very logical that that there is a return of investment because you're moving up in the ladder of desirability and therefore moving up front to the list of, you know, houses who are selling first.
Now, do you find yourself sometimes feeling like the furniture that's in here just really isn't going to cut it, so we need to either go buy a little bit or rent a little bit? Is that sometimes make its way into the mix?
Yeah, because we have to be coherent to the market and, you know, have to stay in. So if people have lived for 30, 40, 50 years.
So the shag carpet
years,
and the Naga hide and all that.
We have to stay. You know, it's up to date. It's up to date. And the end, you know, there's always, it's, you know, if it's a decision for, it's an investment. I'm looking at staging and an investment. It's like when you're investing to update your cabinetry, your kitchen, your countertops. So it is an investment to bring the property to its current market value. And there's always two ways. You either, it's price reduction or you're adding on to improve the value of your property. And the part is, you know, the same like when there's a recommendation to put in a new carpet. You know, it might cost you $2,000, $3,000 to do that.
Right.
If you don't do it, normally that the buyer might take off $5,000 because it will always cost more if somebody else is doing it versus you're doing it to preparing it for sale. And I think that's a nice way to, and that's a good way to look at it as well.
Yeah. So, Alan, if you're representing a house and you have a listing in like a neighborhood like yours where all the Gottrocks live, I'm not talking about on my side of the tracks, but have you ever considered, do you know realtors that would consider absorbing or fronting some of this fee, or they usually put that all on the seller? Or?
I think that most of the time the realtor has to pay the fee.
Oh, really?
Now, you know, everything in this world is negotiable, and you know, if I'm selling a $100,000 house, I'm probably not going to hire her to stage it. But if I have a $700,000 or $800,000 house, and I you know, there's enough money in it for me to make it into an investment.
Well, the number she was talking about, Alan spends out on wine every weekend. That's nothing, right? So, so yes, that's not a strange idea to you for the realtor to absorb that as part of the deal. Has that been your experience too?
Well, there's a combination, like the initial consultation fee. Some realtors are using that and adding that to their marketing strategy. in their way, they are kind of like comparing to other realtors. They offer an additional service, and so they're absorbing my fee. That means they pay me for that. Others might do a combination. They say, okay, I pay for it now, but I will be reimbursed at closing for that fee with the customer. So I think there are different options. And I think it's also a difference if it's only the service, means our team going into a property and helping people to prepare physically, not
right,
only the consultation,
right,
but really doing and helping, versus buying additional items or even doing a full empty. We have also a warehouse, so we're also doing the model home merchandising and the empty home staging as well. So that's a different side of the business. And of course, there's a different investment factor involved in it. So some of that might be absorbed and others might be absorbed by the customer. So it's a mix.
You know, I've got a whole bunch of people coming to my house. So we're the Christmas house. My wife is the youngest of five daughters. So we have like 18, 20 people for 2 weeks. And I've got a pretty decent sized home, but it gets a little smaller in December. I wonder if we should just hire her to just come make it look good before they get there, you know, or maybe before Holly and my daughter Katie, they're going to London this morning. They're going to be gone for a week. Maybe, you know, when your wife and your oldest daughter are gone for a week, maybe you hire somebody like Barbara, just come in and fix it.
good idea, but it involves removing all the stuff. The clutter is a sales killer. I mean, if the house is not
is that
neat,
right?
It's even if you lower the price, if the house is just really.
So this staging, it has a real impact. Well, yes. I was thinking while you guys were talking, you said it could be a combination. You know, you said stuff's negotiable. I'm thinking if I sat down with you and I sat down with one or two other real estate agents and you said to me that, you know, look, we're a full service real estate agent. We're serious about marketing this house. And when you list with me, we're going to get it staged right. I mean, to me that even if you said we're going to get it staged right and we're going to absorb that fee up front, or we're going to share that fee with you, whatever you said, to me that would position you very differently than the next realtor. So
right.
I got to believe it. I mean, it has to be a wonderful service deliverable to have in your bag when you're going out there wanting to list homes to have a strategic relationship with somebody like Barbara, yeah?
Absolutely.
I think that's terrific. So we talked about the kind of furniture that you – do you find yourself in situations where – the furniture just is really, it's just not going to cut it. How do you have that conversation with people? You've had to learn how to be like really tactful, I guess, haven't you?
Well, it's the same with the wallpaper or the color or art. But the first step, what I'm trying to accomplish is to disconnect from the property and looking at the house not as a home anymore, but as an investment. Mm. And therefore, really talking about not the home anymore, it's like a transition in the process. So this is not the home, it's now an investment, it's a product. It's a product out there for merchandising. And everything I'm saying is targeted towards the product and the merchandising of your property. So nothing is really personal. It's kind of like...
And you're able to have that degree of objectivity that would be very difficult for me to have in my home. So can you walk us through a project? Maybe, you know, what you found when you got there and the kind of recommendations you made. Can you walk us through one? You don't have to mention any names, but...
No, absolutely. For example, we're coming in a house which, you know, has been a very nice couple, has been lived in for 20, 30 years, and they're downsizing. So a big part is, you know, getting rid of certain items. Kids have left, and it's now time to move on. And you know, they want to have like a smaller, let's say like townhouse type of property. And so there's a lot of items they know they wouldn't take, but they also love and have, you know, lots of collections. You know, from little Tsarkovsky items to kind of like lots of books. So you will find a lot of beautiful collection in that house. And of course, you know, there's love involved and people who have been traveling a lot or have, you know, a lot of experience. There's a lot of memories in that house,
right.
You know, so it's, you know, listening to some of that stories as well, but then helping them in the whole transition process. You know, I know you have these beautiful collections out there, and I know you're looking forward to move into your new house. I also know it's a lot of, you know, work and time, you know, you have spent, and you love them, and we want to, you know, get it moving quickly. And we don't want that other people kind of like taking an advantage. You have open houses, you know, they are very valuable, and you might want to pack them ahead
of time. Instead of, let's just get this crap out of the the way. This is a nightmare. Let's move this over here. You really are very socially skilled, aren't you?
I'm a very upfront agent. I don't hesitate going in and say this wallpaper's hideous. You got to get rid of it.
Yeah, but
that's
why you need to hire her.
Right.
Well, you know, it's both. I think it is both. You know, you can say and you can say things and still respect the other side for what they're doing. At the end, it's it's the final result, and you don't want to spend 5 or 6 hours only in the small talk communication. So I fully agree. You know, it has to be to a point, but I'm trying to motivate them in a positive way so that there's no more than only removing it, but also more reason behind. And I think it's like when you're talking to your child and telling them no, you can't do that. It's always you can always say no, but right. It makes it so much easier. I know that with my son. I have a 7-year-old, so I have this challenged every every day, to give them some motivation why to do it. So, kind of like funny story on the side. So, my son still kind of believes in Santa. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a little letter to Santa. And, next to this letter to Santa, he also wrote a letter to the number one mom. So I thought that was pretty cute.
Oh, that's good. Good for him. He did. He covered all his bases. That's great. So, if you don't mind, walk us through a specific case if you have one. You walked in, you saw this, and you made these kinds of recommendations, and here's what happened as a result.
Yeah, and so kind of like that one part. I'm actually working on a house in Alpharetta right now, and we're walking through them, and they have some really nice pieces. But one area in the house who really needed attention was a powder room. And I know it's not on the highest list, but powder rooms also have a certain importance because it's the bathroom everybody sees where all the guests are going.
Right.
And so it is important. So a lot of things already, a beautiful kitchen, beautiful upgrades, but that one was wallpapered all over, into definitely not the taste appealing to everybody.
Twelve.
And I know it was a lot of work, and as part of they've done everything, but that bathroom was kind of we have done so much, we don't want to do it. But we really talked it through and the example I'm using very often is, it's like you're going to $1 million property, but it doesn't mean it can be $100,000 property as well. And the first thing you see is a broken doorbell. Interestingly is that I have had that happen more often because a lot of time people are not entering to the front door, they're entering to the garage.
Right.
And so it is not obvious. And you don't want to have this impression. So everything is perfect, but then you don't want to have the house to be remembered. Oh, that was the house with the hideous bathroom.
It's not the way you want them to drive off.
No, you want to have that the experience walking through in this, 5 minutes people are spending, that it is a full, perfect experience from the entry to when they are leaving. And I think that's the most important part. And one of the skills in staging properly is to lure people into the room so that they're spending more time, because what we know is there's more time are people spending in a property, and as more wow factor experience they have, as more likely it is that they remember this experience and put this property higher up in the list of desirability and property they want to have. I want them to want this property. I want them to place their furniture. I want them to create emotional clues with every room so that they take this memories with them and remember that house compared to others.
Wow.
So that's really the key part. But, in general, the walkthrough is we're going room by room. And I also ask my customers to allow me to do the evaluation by myself. First, I want them to show me the property. Then I take a second round and I go room by room and take pictures. And then I take a third round and I make little notes. And then in my last round, I go with my customer and point out certain things. And during this step-by-step approach, I am giving suggestions, and I'm also explaining why I think that is important. And that way, I'm already getting the buy-in. So when I'm leaving, they often have a to-do list of items they can get started. And I love technology. So if I give them also a shopping list, or in my report, recommend a list to what they should do, they can send me pictures. And they go shopping and say, now, what do you think? This one and this one.
Nice.
And scale and. So we continue that process, and of course I'm staying involved with them also for the listing and then for the photos, because all the investment we're doing for the staging does not pay off when at the end the photos don't show the results. So having and hiring a professional photographer is, you know, the final end of our work and is key and is important. And I stress that in every project I'm doing.
Man, I got to tell you, if I'm a listing agent, this is the magic dust in my bag.
Hire me.
Yeah. So if I'm a listing agent, a realtor, or a homeowner in some cases, what factors should I be considering? What questions should I be asking of myself or of you or of my realtor as I'm beginning to entertain the idea of bringing in a professional home stager? What should I be thinking about?
Well, I think the key is when you're starting to Google that you're really trying to find somebody who has the experience and really can help you. And you know what we're doing? What we're doing is G-O-O, you know, G-L-E, we Google. So we're kind of like, right. we'll kind of like find somebody out there who has the experience. You know, often you should ask your realtor, do you have a professional aid, a professional stager you can refer to me? So that would be one option.
Right.
Or people asking other people. They know if they know somebody, or they go on the internet and they search. And then when you're having a conversation with a professional stager, I think it is important to know how long they're in business, if they're licensed and insured, if they are in their portfolio, and so that they're sharing, you know, other properties.
Because they should have plenty of pictures of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's enough. So their progress list, so kind of like their success rate, you mm-hmm. know, how often, how long houses are on market. I think these are all good questions to ask.
I have a question. Do you keep your own stock of decorations and furniture, or do you just, you know, each one you go out and get them, you know, at that time?
We have our own warehouse because we also do model home merchandising. Mm-hmm. And so we're having our warehouse with furniture and accessories, and we're renting that out. But I have the return of investment in mind. And sometimes if it's smaller items, I might recommend that it's good to set a budget aside versus renting from me, because it's all about return of investment.
Right.
And the highest, you know, for me is that my customer is satisfied. So if you only have a couple of items, then it might make more sense. The other part is I'm also trying to learn if when people are moving, what their plan is, if they're staying in the area, and if they're planning to buy new furniture as well. And sometimes I might recommend to do a pre-investment. So instead of buying furniture when you're going to the new house, you might want to buy certain items for the old house, which you can move to the new property.
Right.
And of course, sometimes that is working and sometimes that, you know, it's not, depending on the specific situation. But I really try to evaluate so that I can make the best recommendation for the customer's needs.
Well, I can tell you what this conversation has done for me, and I don't look to move for a long time. I'm very happy where I am, but I tell you what, to me, a home stager is like the Carfax. You've seen those commercials where you ask about the Carfax? If I sit down with a listing agent, I'm going to say, tell me about your home stager.
Yep.
And that, I mean, that's going to be like a qualification criteria for me.
She'll be on my vendor list.
Terrific. Well, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you, learn more about your services, and have a conversation with you if they're serious about entertaining the idea of having a home staged, or if they know someone in their sphere of influence that ought to have that conversation? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, number one is calling us. Phone number is 678-778-8642, or going on our website, which is www.homedesign2sell.com. We're also on Facebook, on Twitter, and on, you know, kind of like we're having a lot of YouTube videos out there where you can look at our before and after pictures. And I am looking forward to hear from you.
Well, Barbara Heilsonic, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime and maybe bring some of your realtor buddies and have them talk a little bit about some of these projects.
Would love to do that. Appreciate the opportunity, Payne and Ellen. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Fun stuff. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Alan Dobrinsky, our guest Barbara Heilsonic, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying welcome home from Atlanta Home Radio.